time for Packers preview again. Talking about the Pack on KFAN. The Super Bowl, we're gonna win again. According to your host, David Sinekin, we'll win on the road. We'll win at home. We'll even win in
U.S. Bank Stadium.
Vikes fans can call it for You've Got the Balls, the Packers preview show. And now, the Fan Radio Network is only somewhat proud to present year number 22 of Packer Preview. Packer Preview is brought to you by Hudson Ford, Park Tavern, St. Croix Casino, West Bend Mutual Insurance, and Midwest Leaf Guard. Now, here's the cheesehead, the head cheese himself, Dave Sinekin!
Wow. Five sponsors, a giddy announcer. Football season is back. Good morning, Packer fans, and welcome to the season premiere of year number 22 of Packer Preview on the sports leader in the home of the Vikings, the Fan Radio Network, KFAN.com, iHeartRadio. You name it, you can find it. So glad you got up with us, or if not, so glad you got to sleep in and then found us and downloaded us and listened before the season opener. Packers Seahawks gets things kicked off. Really, pretty much the consensus, two favorites to reach the Super Bowl out of the NFC, go head-to-head in week one. It doesn't get any bigger than Seahawks at Pack. And how nice is it to be home to kick off the season for the first time since 2012? Nice to be at Lambeau for week one. I'll be making my way eastward shortly after the show ends today, and I can't wait to be there, and I hope I break my streak. It's not been pretty the last four or five times I've been there, but all good things when Green Bay hosts Seattle. Aaron Rodgers has never lost at home to Seattle, 3-0. We'll talk all about the matchup and what to expect from this opener as we get going. But in the first segment, I thought we would really just take a look at the season overall, the biggest changes, what to expect. But as I said, I think 33 ESPN talking heads were asked to pick their Super Bowl teams, and 27 of the 33 had either the Packers or Seahawks coming out of the NFC. 16 picked the Pack, 11 picked Seattle. So these two heavyweights are expected to go places if they stay healthy. And I said it earlier this week on The Fan, I truly believe it. I think the season begins today at Lambeau against the Seahawks. I think the season ends at Lambeau against the Seahawks for the NFC Championship game. But this one, obviously, doubly important because you want that home field advantage come playoff time, something that sort of held the Pack back the last three times in the NFC Championship game. Packers have had to play on the road, and a win over Seattle gives you that tiebreaker, should it come down to that, if the teams have the same record. So getting off to a big start is huge, not to mention the fact that Packers go to Atlanta next week to open up their new stadium on Sunday night, and that's not going to be easy. A trip to Dallas and Minnesota also awaits in the first 6 weeks, so it's all about a faster start after what happened last year. The 4-6, I was done. I figured the team was done. Aaron told us that he thought they'd run the table. We all know what happened at that point. It'd be nice to get off to a quicker start, not have to rely on a furious finish, and give yourself a chance to host more than one postseason game when it comes down to that. So, what's happened different from this year's team to last? Well, the biggest sort of cultural change has been Ted Thompson and the scouting department's decision to kind of age up the team a little bit. This is no longer one of the very youngest teams in football. Oh, man, how long have I been griping? I know many of you have too. It's nice to be young, and young players are what fuel this league and all that. But when you are a perennial Super Bowl contender and your Hall of Fame quarterback is in his 30s, it'd be nice to supplement the roster with some veterans, some guys that have been around a bit and know how to win and are ready to play now. And yeah, you still have to develop guys. But boy, oh boy, did Thompson take that to heart. We know he brought back Devon House to hopefully cement the number one cornerback spot back in a system that's more favorable to his skill set, and that is playing up at the line and not being back in zone as he was in Jacksonville. Of course, in free agency, Thompson also signed Ricky Jean-Francois, the defensive lineman, who's about 30, 31. He'll be a nice rotation player, and certainly not a guy you have to count on for a whole lot of reps. The two tight ends, Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks, join the team, and that's going to give the offense a whole different look. We'll talk much about that. Jahri Evans, the right guard, in to replace T.J. Lang, and Evans older than Lang, and guy that's, I think, played about 160 straight games. We'll see what he has left in the tank there. And then in the last week or so, maybe the last couple weeks, with injuries to the Packers' two rookie defensive players, Montrevious Adams and Vince Beagle, Thompson goes out and finds some players off the 49ers scrap heap that didn't fit in their new 4-3 defensive scheme and are a bit older. Ahmad Brooks, the pass rusher, who I think is a great pickup to provide some much-needed depth behind Matthews and Perry. And then Quentin Dial, the defensive lineman, steps in, big guy, give you some beef, and he'll replace LaTroy Guyon. So all kinds of veteran replacements to fill out the roster, just what I think a lot of us want to see at this point where the Packers are in their development. Rookie class, three players cut. That's unusual. Two are back on the practice squad, but the Packers will really count on the first two picks, Kevin King and Jones, to be difference makers on the back end as the season goes on. Of course, the three running backs that were drafted are also there to supply some depth behind Ty Montgomery, who's going to get his shot to really run the running attack. And that's going to be one of the key question marks. Not a lot of question marks for a team that's reached the playoffs 8 straight years and won 5 of the last 6 division titles. But there's no Eddie Lacy, at least on our side of the field today. Ty Montgomery has been handed the job and is really not a backup that you know about. I mean, Jamal Williams, the 4th-round pick, is next on the depth chart, but got very little work in the preseason. And I'm sure he'll get some action today, but this is a team that is depending on Ty Montgomery to kind of be that bell cow running back. And we'll see if Ty is up to the challenge. And, again, we didn't see a lot of him either in the preseason. Is he ready to be a guy that can handle pass protection, which is going to come in handy against the Legion of Doom, which is healthy and ready to rock? So that's a key element today is Ty Montgomery. Yeah, he can run the ball. He can split out, you know, and be versatile and confuse the defense, but he also has to protect number 12 because this team obviously only goes as far as number 12 goes. Offensive line depth, the key question for this team this season. J.C. Tretter is the new starting center in Cleveland. There's not much proven behind the starting five, and we'll talk about Brian Bulaga. That is the number one storyline heading into this game. Multiple reports over the last 8 hours says that Brian Bulaga is a long shot to play today, and that is a huge story. That's really the A story going into this game. If Bulaga does not play, and it looks like he will miss this one, that means Kyle Murphy gets the start at right tackle. He'll have to face Michael Bennett. I'm guessing that they'll put Michael's brother Martellus over there on that side a lot to help Murphy deal with the pass rush, because the Seahawks will certainly understand that without Bulaga, there's a big question mark on that side of the line. So that's a huge storyline for this offense, and I'm sure they pretty much knew, you know, going into this game that Bulaga may be unlikely to play, and they have planned accordingly. But again, not much proven behind those starting five. Murphy gets a shot to show he's ready. They certainly like what they've seen from him. Be nice to see Jason Spriggs ready to step in as the third tackle, but he's clearly not. But for a young player to get his first start against the Seattle Seahawks, that is a big storyline heading into this game. Lane Taylor this week extended through 2020, $5 million signing bonus, $16.5 million guaranteed. The Packers, many thought, were lost after losing Josh Sitton, letting him go a year ago. Lane Taylor stepped in and was terrific at left guard, and he has been rewarded and will be a part of this offensive line at least for the next 4 seasons. Other big things and new things heading into this season, mentioned the two tight ends that were signed. That's going to provide a new look for this offense. If McCarthy has those two guys on the field at the same time, that means Randall Cobb is probably on the bench. You can't have three receivers and two tight ends. So it'll be curious to see how much the Packers employ that look. I would think maybe more today than you would see down the road. When you're out with your right tackle, having a couple tight ends in there certainly can help. Bennett's a really nice blocker, a huge upgrade over Rodgers, and can provide some much-needed security for Kyle Murphy, that's for sure. But those two tight ends give the Packers a different look, and Bennett as good as Jared Cook was last year, and he was huge, the Packers were a different team when Jared Cook was healthy. Bennett's an upgrade, and he's been a little injury-prone in his career. If he can stay on the field, he gives the Pack a really exciting weapon down the field, a weapon they haven't had since JerMichael Finley. And I guess the final big storyline, or at least big difference, is the Packers have a new punter, a rookie. Justin Vogel earns the job out of the University of Miami. Has had a really nice preseason, but we have no idea what to expect from Justin Vogel. The lights come on, national TV, prime time, late afternoon start, and he's making his debut. So we'll watch very carefully what Justin Vogel does, because on the other side of the field today, Tyler Lockett, very dangerous returner, you know that. He is a little banged up with a knee injury. He's listed as questionable, but everything I've seen makes it sound like Tyler Lockett will play. So Justin Vogel will have to be very careful about where he positions that football today, and gets a lot of hang time, because you know, in a game like this, field goal game, Packers favored by 3, a couple punt returns can tilt the game. So Vogel will be important, as will the entire special teams unit, something to watch. On the other side, the Packers two returners, Trevor Davis has earned the punt return job, Jeff Janis the kick return job, and we'll see if both of those guys can do enough to show that they belong in that spot. So lots of excitement for this team this year, lots of high expectations, and it all comes down to a fast start, because the schedule, at least right now on paper, looks to ease up after the first 5 or 6 weeks. But with road games in Atlanta, Dallas, and even up here in Minnesota, where it's always difficult in the first 6 weeks, you got to take care of the home games. And the toughest home game on the schedule happens to be today against the Seahawks. We'll come back and talk much about today's matchup and what to expect, the return of Eddie Lacy, the latest on Bulaga. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers, and we'll hear from you. Phone lines jammed up week one. Love to see you guys awake. We'll get all your calls in. And my son Jackson's in the house to give his prediction as a Viking fan. Lots to come. We are just getting rolling. It's Packer Preview on The Fan.
You're listening to Packer Preview on The Fan.
Hey.
Across the USA, I love my Green Bay Packers, who won the first Super Bowls ever played. I love my Green Bay Packers. Pity Chicago, Detroit, and Tampa Bay.
Throw in the vibes.
They all come up as laggers. We take our opposition and crunch them like they're crackers. That's why I love my Green Bay.
Back with you, 7:17. Thanks for getting up early as we get ready for Packer football. We got to wait, though. We are just over 8 hours away from kickoff, one of the flukes of the 2017 schedule. The Packers do not have a noon kickoff until they come here to play the Vikes in week 6. We alternate 3 o'clock and primetime games over the first 5 weeks. So we got to wait a little bit for the Packers season to start. Seahawks in town. Outside of the NFC North, there is no greater rival for the Packers over the last half a dozen years or so than the Seahawks. It's our 6th meeting since 2012, so it almost feels like a division team. We all know odd and weird things seem to happen whenever these two teams play. It does come down to where the game is. Packers 8-1, lifetime at home against Seattle. Rodgers 3-0 at home against Seattle. He's been over 100 passer rating in all 3 games. He's never thrown a pick, and he's thrown 6 touchdown passes. So he obviously excels when the game is at Lambeau Field. Of course, as I said, the big storyline here in the Twin Cities is AP coming home Monday night to face the Vikes for the first time. But for us, Eddie Lacy comes home week one. He's, I would guess, still somewhat svelte, if you could call him ever that, so early in the year. But Eddie made his weight. He made the team. He'll likely get a lot of work today because Thomas Rawls is a game-time decision with an ankle. So Lacy likely to get a lot of work today. I would think he'd get a nice hand from the fans. We'll see how that goes. But Aaron Rodgers was asked about number 27's return earlier this week.
Yeah, Eddie's a great teammate. You know, he's a lot of fun to be around. He's always has that infectious smile. You know, he's a tough dude. All those Alabama guys that have been here over the years and you see across the league, you know, they're football players. They're tough dudes, know how to play the game, play it the right way, and Eddie was one of them. So it'll be fun to fun to line up against him. I won't be lining up against him, but, you know, Eddie's one of those guys you always enjoy being around, and hope he's enjoying it up there.
Now, let's hope he doesn't enjoy it too much today. He did say earlier this week that if he hits the end zone, he will do a Lambeau leap, and that would be rather interesting to see for sure. I got an email to the Bradshaw and Brian inbox. Stacy asked who I thought would do the first Lambeau leap of 2017. I don't know. For some reason, top of my head, Randall Cobb's name came to my head, so I'm going to go with that. With Richard Sherman on the other side, wherever he's matched up, that guy is not going to get a whole lot of work. So it'll be interesting to see how Green Bay moves its receivers around. Do they just put Davante Adams on Sherman's side and say, all right, we'll just not get too much out of Adams today and let Jordy and Cobb and the other guys get the work? But that'll be interesting to see. But I'll go with Cobb, just kind of feeling it. We'll see what happens. As I said, the big story this morning, unlikely that Brian Bulaga plays today with that ankle injury. He did do a little work in practice on Tuesday and Wednesday, but clearly they don't feel comfortable where he is. We haven't heard an official announcement, but I saw several tweets overnight from reliable sources that say the exact words were that Bulaga a long shot to play today. So Kyle Murphy gets his first start at right tackle. As I said, I expect Martellus Bennett to help him out and probably do more blocking than going out out on routes today. So I just have a feeling they got to protect Murphy against Michael Bennett, KJ Wright, and all the guys that are going to come from that side. All right, let's grab a couple calls here. Appreciate all you guys getting up early and ready to talk some green and gold. We begin, as usual, with our good friend Dave from Shakopee. Good morning, sir.
I'm ready for some football.
Yeah, we all are. It's been a long off season, and doesn't get much bigger than Seattle at Green Bay, does it?
It doesn't. Good seeing you Friday night. I hope you were able to see the concert. Looked like you had a lot of traffic going up your aisle.
Yeah, we had the U2 concert. Good to see you and Dave. Yeah, we were just happened to be in the spot where everybody was going down to the floor, so we had a constant stream of people. But it was all good. Great to see those guys. It was a fun show.
It was. You know, the Pack is long overdue to have the trophy back in Green Bay. We've got the talent, this year to win it all. We just got to stay away from the injuries. You know, we've had the injuries in the past. We've overcome it. But we just haven't gone that next step. So I think this year they will take that next step. And with the revised NFL schedule, I don't know if you saw it overnight, but the NFL did add another game for Green Bay on November 2nd. February 2nd. So,
how are they going to play that?
At the People's Stadium.
Oh, great. That's convenient. So it's right here in town. Good. I'll put that on my calendar. Sounds good.
So go Pack. I see them winning it all this year. I don't normally make those predictions, but Green Bay all the way.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, I do tend to pick the Pack. This just in, the fan has learned. I feel pretty good, too. It feels like it's the Pack's time. The way the season ended last year, Rodgers knows, if he wants to be considered one of the all-time greats, he needs at least one more ring. You got one ring, you're in a boat with a whole bunch of quarterbacks, but you win that second one, you start to get into exclusive company. And I think we'd all like to see at least a couple more. You want to pass Eli at least, Eli's got two. I know it's not just all on the quarterback, and obviously Rodgers plays every year at a level that's good enough to reach a Super Bowl. The defense needs to follow suit, and the Green Bay defense, to me, appears improved. We'll see how much. I think they're really strong on the defensive line, more so than in past years. I think Mike Daniels certainly has stepped into that role of leader of the defense, and he looks like, if you saw him in the preseason, he looks like a beast. He is so ready. Kenny Clark, the second-year guy, was maybe the youngest rookie last year at 20. He is so young, but he has taken big strides. And suddenly with those two guys, there's a lot more oomph up front. I feel much better about the defensive line. Dean Lowry, the other guy that will get the start, has stepped into his role as well. And when he went down with the injury, it looked really bad. I was concerned that we might lose him for the year, but he's back. And now there's nice depth behind him, as I said, with Francois and Dial and Adams when he gets healthy. I really like the Packers' defensive line. Linebackers, Perry and Matthews are making a huge chunk of money, and they're both in a spot where they're going to have a chance to make a lot of plays. They got to stay on the field. They got to stay healthy. I was really concerned a couple weeks ago that there was really nothing behind those two. If and when one of them gets hurt, what do you got? You got Jayron Elliott. You got Kyler Fackrell. I was really concerned. Well, obviously the Packers were too. They traded Jayron Elliott for a late-round pick. They still have Fackrell only because he's a third-round pick. But the signing of Amon Brooks at 33, the same age Julius Peppers was when the Packers signed him, I feel so much better knowing he's the rotational third guy. He'll step in, I'm sure, on maybe nickel or dime coverage once he's comfortable with the scheme, and he's a 3-4 player, so he knows it. So I feel better about the depth at outside linebacker. There's still some concern on the inside with Blake Martinez, Jake Ryan, good run-stopping guys, but kind of questionable in coverage. But they won't have to do too much now with this nitro package. Morgan Burnett is going to step in and play that inside linebacker spot on passing downs, giving you the speed, the athleticism to cover running backs and tight ends. I feel that's an upgrade. And Josh Jones will also get a chance to play some linebacker, even though he's a traditional safety. Of course, the biggest question on the defense is the cornerback position. We got House, Randall, and Rollins. No, that's a prove it or lose it year. I think both of those guys are going to step up and make up for what happened last year. That's going to be an improvement. Kevin King, the first pick for the Pack, right now fourth on the depth chart. But as he gets more and more comfortable, he's going to be a guy I think you can put on the outside and cover the fast receivers the Packers face. So I really like the Packers at cornerback a lot better than I did a year ago. Now think about it. Ladarius Gunter was our number one corner against Julio Jones and the Falcons. He barely made the roster this year and has moved inside to be more of a slot corner. So I think there's an upgrade there, especially if Randall can back up all the talk. He believes he is going to show that he is a quote-unquote shutdown corner. And at safety with Burnett and Clinton Dix, the Packers are as strong at safety as they have been in years. Even Bryson Evans behind them and Jones. Five safeties on this roster that I think are all capable of starting. So, Phil, good about the defense, but until we see him on the field, obviously we're not going to really know what we have. Back to the phones as we welcome Dave from Maple Grove. What's up?
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to talk to you. Good to see you Friday night.
Good to see you, my friend. Good show. Sound was terrible, but the show was good.
I would agree 100%.
First, I got to do a quick shout-out, if I may, to Scott and Marianne from Tim Hortons. Loyal listeners. Met them last summer, and they listen every Sunday. Good morning, Scott.
Awesome.
Good morning, Marianne.
Yep, good morning to them.
Okay. I'm going to start with predictions and then go into a couple things to talk about. My prediction, 12-4. I actually will win today in overtime, 34-28.
Oh, I can't take that, please. Overtime's too much, but you might be right. This one, especially without Bulaga, gets a little bit closer.
Yeah, I think it's an overtime win. One thing that I've been noticing is McCarthy seems to be a little bit more vocal this year. Just a little, just you pick a little snippets up of him being a little very, he's seeming very, very confident about the team, the direction that they're going. And he seems to be preaching the message, Super Bowl and win, Super Bowl and win. And he seems to be preaching it very, very well to the team.
Yeah, well, I think I've noticed a bit of that too, and I think he's getting a little ornery. He knows that he's got an all-timer here at quarterback, and if they only win one, there's going to be a lot of questions about what might have been. And so I think it's all right in front of them right now, and you know, the first 6 weeks are just so essential. If they're 4-2 after 6 weeks, then 12-4 to me looks very likely and a chance at the number one seed. But it's all about these first six games, and certainly taking care of all of them at home.
Couldn't agree more. Also, I really feel that he has worked hard in the running game. You didn't see a whole ton of preseason. I just get the impression that through practice, they have really been focusing on the running. They know how to throw. They know what they got with their receivers and their quarterback. I get the impression that they focused a lot on the running game in preseason and in practice this year, Dave.
Thanks. I'm going to let you go with that. I hope that's true. We didn't see a ton of it during the preseason games. I think McCarthy realized it that last half when he basically ran the ball the entire time after Brett Hundley got to show his stuff. They really showcased Hundley in the preseason more than anything else. I feel good about Ty Montgomery. I drafted him in a number of fantasy leagues. I do believe he is going to step in to that role. He's bulked up a bit. He's basically got all the same measurables as Le'Veon Bell. Now, you know, he's got the build. He's practiced all offseason. He knows he's a running back. It's the biggest question mark about this offense is can Montgomery handle the load? Can he be a number one running back? Can he stay healthy? If he can, this offense could go places we haven't seen in a long, long time. Got to pause. We'll come back. Old Southside, 1265. Even our old friend Kane is on hold. We'll get to all your calls when we return. Packer Preview on The Fan.
You're listening to Packer Preview on The Fan.
Come on, everybody. Gonna shake it like this. Gonna rah, rah, hup, hup,
All right, we're back. 7:32. This is the season debut of Packer Preview on the Fan, our 22nd year. We thank the Fan for bringing us back and giving us our hour, early though it may be. It's great to be back, and I hope that if you didn't wake up with us, that you found us on iHeartRadio or iTunes and were able to listen before the game. Something new for me this year, I've been talking for 22 years leading up to Packer games. I rarely get to talk after Packer games, except for the few minutes when I do my border battle with PA on Mondays on the Fan. This year, I'm going to do a Packer review podcast, 15, 20 minutes, something like that, with my thoughts on each Packer game. I'll post them on Monday mornings, or you know, the one Monday night game, it'll be Tuesday morning. You'll be able to find that as well on iHeart or iTunes. I will always tweet out a link to the podcast. So if you don't follow me on Twitter, TC Head Cheese is where you will find me. But please listen for that. The debut of Packer Review, sponsored by the Park Tavern, will begin tomorrow morning, whenever I can get that up. And my friends here at the Fan can help me with that. So just pay attention to Twitter, and you'll find the link when it's up. So very excited about finally talking about the Pack following the games and giving my viewpoints that way. So excited about that. All right, before we talk about some of the key matchups today, we'll hear from Aaron Rodgers today as well on the Legion of Boom. Let's head to the Packer lines and begin with our good friend, 1265 Lombardi Guy. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for having another great season of Packer Preview ahead. And gosh, it's hard to believe I've been back in Green Bay 5 years, and it's still just a great place to be a part of.
It's going to be a beautiful day today, too. I mean, we're looking at 70 degrees, 3:25 kickoff. We got Buck and Aikman and the crew. It's football time, and this is the premier matchup of Week 1, Seahawks-Packers. You might get a Cowboys-Giants argument because of the East Coast bias, but I think most football fans would agree Seahawks Packers is as good a matchup as we get on Week 1.
Oh, without a doubt. And the Packers have kind of had the Seahawks hand the last few years. You look back to that NFC Championship game, the offense had the ball quite a bit in that game, and they had figured out how to attack that Seahawks defense. And I feel very confident with the way that this one will end for the Packers today. I like the fact that they pretty much have the best five wide receivers set in the National Football League that will create several matchup issues for defenses, whoever they play week in and week out. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, it's just come to the line. Okay, there's my opportunity, and take advantage of it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. As I said earlier, you don't throw at Richard Sherman too much. But after that, at cornerback, that's really the weak link on that defense. Jeremy Lane starts, but many believe at some point Shaquille Griffin will surpass him. He's the nickelback. Neither of those guys are great. So there should be opportunities. I mean, the difference is Earl Thomas is out there, and he wasn't out there last December when the Packers won 38-10, and he'll provide some help to that other cornerback as well. But, yeah, you're right. When you've got a three or four receiver set, there are mismatch opportunities all over the place. As long as you protect Rodgers, this is a great pass-blocking offensive line, but without Bulaga, it obviously changes things a little bit. So we're going to watch that closely. But you are correct. As I said earlier, Rodgers, over 100 passer rating every time he plays Seattle at home. He's never thrown a pick. He seems to know what to do. So the matchup appears to favor the Pack because of where it's being played.
Don't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers has a 4,500 yard season passing and 50 touchdowns this
50.
Year.
50. Wow, that would be sweet. I'll take that right now. It sounds fun.
Enjoy the game, Dave.
Thanks, 1265. Great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again next week, I am sure. On to 12 or no to old Southside Guy. Good morning, sir.
Davey, good morning. Great to hear your voice for another season.
Thanks, man. Good to talk to you.
Yes. Hey, if I can just give us a thought here first outside of the toy department. My thoughts and prayers and our thoughts and prayers go out to those people that are going through Hurricane Harvey and now Hurricane Irma.
Yeah, absolutely. Unbelievably scary stuff. And we're all bracing for the worst, hoping for the best. But it's going to be an unbelievable couple days down in Florida. And as the storm makes its way up, Georgia, Mississippi, and all those states. Yep, good to express our thoughts and prayers, that's for sure. Let's hope it is not as bad as it looks.
Yeah, and on to the Pack. I think, Dave, for us old-time fans, when we get into the playoffs every year, what's been a frustrating thing is to see the play of all of these free agent linebackers, free agent defensive backs, I really liked what Thompson did this year out of character, going out and signing seven veteran free agents that we got. I think in situational type games, they're all going to have some type of an impact.
Yeah, and we talked about that at the top of the show. I don't know if you were on that early, Southside, but yeah, for sure. I mean, in the past, if injuries happen, you're in most cases putting unproven young kids in there and counting on them. Now the depth really is much more veteran. And, you know, again, from the latest signings from the Niners with Brooks and Dial to the tight ends to Jari Evans, Devon House, we now know this team is older. It's more prepared to withstand injuries outside of the 1 to number 12. And I think that gives us all a bit more peace of mind with the depth and the proven depth this roster now has.
Yeah, and Davey, one more thing. I wish we were playing Atlanta and Cincinnati a little bit deeper into the season. And the reason for that is I'd like to see the fact that we're going to go against two big receivers, Julio Jones and A.J. Green. And drafting King, number one, he's the largest defensive back we've ever had. I'd like to see him match up against those guys, but obviously he's not going to be ready in game two or three.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, and they'll have Dez in week five, too, and we'll see if King's ready at that point. But let's just hope Devon House is ready to take advantage of the opportunity. He's said he's so excited to be back and feels comfortable in this scheme, and now it's time to show whether he is ready to be that number one receiver until King is ready to fill that role. So it's a good point. Green and Julio in the first 3 weeks, that's tough for any defense. We'll see if House is up to the challenge. Thanks, Southside. Great to talk to you, and we'll hear from you as the season goes on. Let's grab one more before our final pause of the show. We'll take a call from the other side of the fence. Vikings fan Kane joins us from Apple Valley. Good morning.
Good morning, THC. Say, I was listening to In the Zone the other day, and can we just call that show what it is at this point, and that's Packer Preview 2.0?
Oh, stop it.
I mean, I grew up in the 80s. I was a big Trent Tucker fan for the Knicks and the Bulls, but why that guy would risk tarnishing his legacy by doing radio with you is beyond me.
I think, you know, 23 years with me, he's beyond tarnishing if that's the direction we're going.
Okay, I got a few things here, so you might want to take down some notes. Anyway, you make a lot of grandiose statements on here, many of which I document to throw back in your face at a later date. Toward the end of last year, you said that either one of Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb would not be back in 2017, so I was curious to get your backpedal on that.
Oh, I don't backpedal. I was wrong, happily wrong. I'm glad they both produced to the level they did. I'm thrilled to have them back. What's that?
I said you admit you did say it, so I'll give you credit there.
Yeah, I don't remember it, but I'm not going to expect you to be lying, so I'm taking your word for it.
Next, I was just going to throw some names at you. Justin Harrell, Brian Brown, Mike Neal, Derek Sherrod, Jarrell Worthy, DeTone Jones, Demarius Randall, Quentin Rollins. I think you get the picture. These are all undisputed Ted Thompson first or second round busts. My question is, can we officially add Eddie Lacy to this list? And are you keeping a spot reserved for Jason Spriggs, who doesn't appear to be capable of blocking falling leaves at this point? Lastly, you consider the NFC title game from last year the Packers' version of 41 Donuts. And have a good year, THC. Side note, is Bill from St. Paul still banned from the show? The answer should be yes.
Yeah, Bill will never appear on the show again. I will say, thanks for calling, Kane. You're always welcome for your brand of humor. You got my son Jackson in stitches over here. The guy cannot stop laughing. Yeah, there have been some first, second-round flops. I think we can go up and down every single team. I'm sure Rick Spielman's had more than his share. I'm certain of it. We can talk Christian Ponder. We can talk about the two picks that the Vikes had before Aaron Rodgers fell to the pack at 24. That one's still going to hurt, isn't it? Two shots. Everybody says, oh, you guys have been so lucky. Favre to Rodgers, 25 years. Of course you're going to. Packers picked Rodgers like 24th that year. There were almost every team in the league had a chance at Aaron Rodgers before the Packers took him, and your team had two chances. So you want to talk flops in the first, second round? Guess what, Kane? Your list is a whole lot longer than Ted Thompson's. And while he's had a couple guys, handful of guys that haven't worked out, his day three picks, I would argue, are better than anybody's in the NFL. And the entire offensive line outside of Bulaga is built on day three picks, and the Vikings would be thrilled to have anybody. Any of the Packers' five offensive linemen would be the best offensive lineman on the Minnesota Vikings. So until your team wins a couple playoff games and becomes relevant, you can have all your fun with draft day flops for Ted Thompson. Bottom line is, If Green Bay reaches the playoffs this season, they'll set a record. They'll tie a record for 9 consecutive years. Only the Colts and Cowboys have done it. The Patriots could do it if they can get their act together, and the Packers will do it if they reach the playoffs. So 9 straight years in the playoffs, that's a record. We'll take that. We'll come back. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers. We'll get predictions on the game and the season, key matchups, and Sun Jackson's predictions. Final segment of Packer Preview right after these.
You're listening to Packer Preview on the Fan.
Hey. Can't wait to head to Lambeau today for Packers Seahawks. Packers have won their last 4 home openers. They've, as I said, they're unbeaten against the Seahawks with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Don't think it'll be quite as easy as December 11th last year when the Packers picked off Russell Wilson a career high 5 times and won 38-10. Rodgers a very nice 18 for 23 for 246, 3 touchdowns, 150.8 passer rating. Of course, slight asterisk, perhaps, that Earl Thomas was not on the field. This team is an entirely different defense when Earl Thomas is not playing. He is playing. That Legion of Boom is intact. They are healthy, so it'll be a much stiffer challenge. And let's be honest, number 12 understands that the Seahawks' difference, far different when E.T. is on the field.
Well, he's a difference maker. He's been a Pro Bowl player in the past, and he covers a lot of ground. They got studs on the outside at corner, but Earl covers a ton of ground sideline to sideline, makes a lot of plays on the ball, has very good ball skills, and is a good tackler.
Yeah, he is just a terrific player. Remember, he pondered retirement after that injury last season. Cooler heads prevailed. He is back, along with Cam Chancellor, the best safety unit in all of football. They're just terrific everywhere. Up front, we talked about Michael Bennett, who will probably get a chance to face off against Kyle Murphy today. They traded for Sean Richardson. Just, the rich get richer when it comes to that defense. A terrific defensive lineman for the Jets, who was on tap to be a free agent. They deal Jermaine Kearse and a number 2 draft pick to add Richardson to that front, which they needed. Jaron Reed, the former Bama guy, has been a bit of a disappointment, but Cliff Averill is next to him, and he makes up for it. The linebackers with Bobby Wagner and K.J. Wright. I mean, this is a great defense and a big challenge for the Pack, but at home, at Lambeau, with Rodgers leading the show. He'll find his spots. I don't expect 38 points today, but I do expect the Packers' offense to be able to move the ball. We've talked about some of the issues Green Bay has. Seattle's biggest issue is the same one it's been for a long time. Outside of Minnesota, maybe the worst offensive line among a winning team, and I do consider the Vikes to be a team that could be a winning team. The Seahawks thought they had an answer at left tackle in George Fant. He tore his ACL. I think it was the Vikings game. It was in the preseason. So he's done. They bring in something called Reese Odhiambo to be their new left tackle. Luke Jokel is the left guard. He was the former number 2 pick in the draft. Drafted as a tackle. He flopped. He's not shown any more progress at guard. The left side of their line is a big question mark. Jermaine at right tackle. Jermaine Ifedi is also marginal at best. So I'm really curious to see if Perry and Matthews can force Russell Wilson to run for his life. We understand that Wilson's one of the best running back quarterbacks in football. He can beat you with his legs. So Green Bay will have to keep a spy on Wilson, make sure he doesn't beat him. Doug Baldwin is number 1 target, is a terrific receiver, and a guy the Packers will have to probably match up house with. Paul Richardson becomes their number 2. He's pretty good. Tyler Lockett, very dangerous in the slot if he's okay with his knee injury. And Jimmy Graham, still the tight end on the back end of his career, but a guy that in the red zone can be very dangerous. So Packers' defense will be tested by an unpredictable Russell Wilson, but that offensive line is ugly, and Green Bay should win those battles and force Russell Wilson to run for his life. All right. Son Jackson, 14 years old now, doesn't quite sound like, and the silence you hear is Lambeau Field. Voice has changed just a bit. He's still a Viking fan. That bit has run its course. I can't change him. He's in studio, as he will be most of the season. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
All right, so let's start with your team. Your Monday night against the Saints. Give me a prediction and a season record for your Vikings.
All right, I'm going to go, we're going to win this week, 21-17.
Ooh, a little lower scoring than I would say. Okay.
And I think that we are going to end up going 9-7.
Well, that doesn't make the playoffs, does it?
Maybe a wild card, maybe not.
9-7, I think that's the higher end of the possibilities. I'll give you that. That's not Kane-like. That's pretty good. I'll go with that. Mm-hmm. All right. You used to be a big Seahawks fan before it was fashionable to be a Seahawks fan. I remember your first tears as a broken-hearted football fan was when the Seahawks lost to the Falcons. I don't even know how many years ago that was. Mm-hmm. You're looking like you don't even remember, but I remember I had to console you and say, you know, it's just a game, you know, don't worry about it. But you've kind of moved on from the Seahawks. The Vikes are your team. Vikes, you think, will win. Packers, Seahawks. Which way are you going that way, bud?
As much as I hate to say it, I got to go with the Packers just because they have home field advantage.
Mm.
I think it's going to be tough with the Seattle Seahawks defense, but I think that their offense is going to overpower them.
Close game? The field goal game? A lot bigger?
I'm going to go 28-21.
Packers by 7.
Yep.
Ooh, I would love that much more than overtime like Dave from Maple Grove.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Packers up picked by Jackson in week 1. That's a good sign. I'm picking the Pack, too. You can read my entire prediction on how I think the game will go on my blog, theheadcheese.com. I got the Pack winning today, a close one, maybe even come from behind. 27-23 is what I'm going with the Pack for this one against Seattle. Got to start fast. Got to win your home opener. It's Lambeau Field. But as I said, it's the toughest home game on the schedule, and with a road game to christen the new Falcon Stadium on Sunday Night Football, it's going to be tough next week. So a flop today, and you might be looking at an 0-2 start, and here we go again, R-E-L-A-X, run the table, all that stuff in play if you don't get out to a quick start. The Bulaga injury is obviously the big story and a big concern. All signs via Twitter point to Bulaga missing this game today, the ankle not ready for action. They'll give him another week to heal. Kyle Murphy gets his big start. As I said, I believe Martellus Bennett, Lance Kendricks, a lot of help over there to protect Murphy from Michael Bennett, KJ Wright, and all the great pass rushers coming from his side for the Seattle Seahawks. I'm with Dave. I go 12-4 for this team. It starts today, though. You got to take care of business today. You got to get at least off to a 4-2 start because the schedule certainly eases up as the season goes on. 12-4 would be good enough, I believe, for the number one seed in the NFC. That's what we're pointing toward, a chance at a home game in the championship game. It's a long way off, I get it, but it starts today. Packers 27, Seahawks 23. Hey, thanks so much for getting up early. Football is back, baby, and the Packers are at Lambeau Field. It's as good as it gets. Enjoy the game, everybody. Listen to my Packer Review podcast tomorrow morning, and until then, enjoy the game, and as always, go Pack.